To my beloved friend, Nils Peter, in whose heart there is a vault full of my secrets. And Søren, a friendship that happily accepts that I philosophize too much before breakfast and you too much after dinner. Etymenanki. The obsession that eventually took over Curtis's waking hours had crept up on him and swallowed him bit by bit, like a huge anaconda, is how he put it. In turn, I almost ended up getting a little obsessed with his story and went to France from England to write a piece on him. I intended to do a single interview with him. After having met him the first time, however, I changed my mind. Over a period of a month and a half, I went twice a week to see him in the dreary dark grey building of La Santé jail in Paris, where he had so far served one of a 12-year sentence. To this day, I smile to myself when remembering his slow, meticulous way of speaking, typical of an American southern drawl. "You're walking along, taking the road, you can see, and one day you look down and can't find where your feet are at, and that's how it starts. Once that's happened, you just continue to sink into its wriggling skin, though you might think you're still going forward. It gulps down your legs, your arms and hands, and when your spine starts bending and twisting, just like a snake, you know it's 'cause you're in the belly of one. When that's happened, and only your head's left breathing, well, then you might as well give up entirely. It's just all too late then." That's what he said the first time I interviewed him, Curtis Laporte. I won't say that he seemed like a normal kind of guy. It would imply that he wasn't really, and in your minds paint a picture of a man who, like that trembling summer afternoon, is expected to turn into rain and thunder at any moment. Curtis Laporte was a normal kind of guy. He just wanted a dream, and when he was lucky enough to find it, but unfortunate enough to get obsessed by it, he was eventually forced to walk the gauntlet of his own desires.